Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated General Grabber ATX. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
The Volume.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire, for Tuesday, March 19th. Technically, March Madness begins tonight. Everybody's all fired up. I know you're geeked about Wagner versus Howard in the first play-in game. Tip time out here in L.A., 3:40 p.m. That'll be on True TV. Good luck finding that. It's that time of the year where you have to actually locate True TV. And then the nightcap is Colorado State and Virginia. I'm on Colorado State in that one. I have to fade Virginia. They are unwatchable, dreck. So those two games tip off to start the tournament. Obviously, you guys heard yesterday's podcast. We will have another guest for more gambling on the NCAA tournament mañana. And very excited about that. You guys know I am a nerd about the tournament. I've been devouring as many kernels of information as I can. I have entered only two bracket pools so far, but trust me, there are more on the way. They're coming. Trust me. Trust, as my young son likes to say. We're going to start today with the NFL because it's interesting. Rob, you know, this is why Rob G is such a good producer. I'll come to the table and be like, man, there's just not that much stuff this morning. There's not a lot of stuff to hit. And he's basically like, well, what's going on with the Cowboys? And I say, oh, let me take a look. Okay. Well, the Jets got Tyron Smith from them. They'll just slide. The Jets got Tyrod Taylor. No, that's the quarterback. What am I saying? Tyron Smith goes to the Jets. Tyler Smith is now the left tackle for the Cowboys. So they're set at left tackle. But what a lot of people didn't notice is that their center is now gone. And who are the Cowboys starting at center? Oh, okay, I'm not really familiar with this undrafted free agent who has historically been a practice squad guy. Like, wait a minute, what's going on with Dallas? Like, I don't think anybody knows who Brock Hoffman is. Nobody knows who that guy is. So they've lost, let's see, okay, two starting offensive linemen. Tony Pollard's gone. They got a question at running back. It'll be the Rico Dowdell-Deuce Vaughn showdown at camp to see who wins that. And they lost Gallup at receiver. Since the injury, he has not really been the same player. Still have CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks. They probably need to draft a receiver. And let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, that Leighton Van Der Esch retired. Are we keeping track of how many starters the Cowboys have lost? And technically, Stephon Gilmore is not currently a Cowboy, although expectations are he will stay. Diggs, of course, returns from injury. But you start to look around, you're like, huh. Washington is spending like drunken sailors, and I like what they're doing. And as long as they get Drake May, I'll really like their offseason. I won't like it as much with Jaden Daniels. I like him, but I'm more in on May. Washington got better. The Giants remain a massive dumpster fire. You've got the Drew Lock, Daniel Jones combination at QB. That's poo-poo. And then you've got the Eagles, who are kind of, it feels like maybe fading a little bit. They've lost a lot of guys. Now, they have brought in some big names. I don't know. I don't think the Eagles are as good as they were when they were 10-1 early in the season last year. I don't think they're quite as bad as what happened at the end. But the coach is on the hot seat, a new offensive coordinator for Jalen Hurts. So the Eagles are, I don't know that they're going through it, but right now, you kind of got to wonder, who's the best team in that division? Are the Cowboys like the de facto choice? When you lose as many starters on offense so far, four, as they have, and then you toss in Leighton Vander Esch at five, if they end up losing Gilmore, that's another one. And oh, by the way, by the by, Dak Prescott does not have his new extension yet. And oh, also, let's remind everyone that McCarthy is currently a lame duck coach after that ass whooping against the Packers. And now you're like, oh, geez, this is kind of a final go round for this crew. The last dance, if you will, for the Cowboys and McCarthy and Dak. Now, we'll see if Dak gets the extension. I'm not a huge fan of giving him $50, $55 million. I'm sorry. Maybe they're waiting to see what Tua gets paid. But Jerry will screw this up if you see a 5 or 6, I believe, as the first number for Dak Prescott. Rob, I like Dak. I know the Cam Newton crowd will be like, hey, wait, you said he was having a better career than Cam. Yeah. Two things can be true. I'm not paying him $55 million. And yes, his numbers throughout his career are better than Cam Newton. Sorry. I mean, you can look at the numbers. Even if you toss in the running numbers, Dak still has the edge. And I'll just remind you, for all the people who love quarterback wins, Rob, Cam never had back-to-back winning seasons. Dak has now had 3 straight 12-win seasons. Now, the playoff wins aren't there, but Dak's not totally to blame for that. Now, he hasn't been amazing in the postseason, but when was Cam ever amazing in the postseason? I don't know, Rob. Cowboys, I don't want to be going overboard thinking they're total poo-poo right now, but it definitely feels like quietly they've had a disappointing postseason, offseason.
Absolutely, so far. And you know, apologies to Cam Newton. He just wants to, you know, buff his hats and play with the feathers that he has and just fight people at flag football events. Let him breathe, man. Let him have a couple of weeks to himself.
That's a low
before you bring him up on the podcast again. Shout out to Cam Newton. This Cowboys offseason is really, really confounding because Jerry Jones said back in January very publicly that they were going to go all in on the upcoming season. And losing, 5 starters, and the only free agent signing of note is UCLA legend Eric Kendricks at linebacker. Doesn't exactly scream all in. According to SpotTrack, Cowboys currently have $1.4 million in cap space with 63 dudes under contract, which is basically just over $8 million in practical cap space because only the top 51 players are ever, you know, really counted in these sort of things, right? Because the other 12 guys are kind of just fringe players, practice squad players. They can get out of that pretty easily and make some cap space if they wanted to. But again, all of this comes down to Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott in his career, 73-41, 202 touchdowns, second most in Cowboys franchise history. And they have Hall of Famers up and down their history of quarterbacks. However, here's the big thing. He's only 2-5 in the playoffs, which is tied with Alex Smith and this guy, Billy Kilmer, no idea who that is, for the worst record in postseason history. Okay. So if you are the Dallas Cowboys, and you're not 1,000% sure that even though Dak Prescott coming off an all-pro season is really the guy that's going to get you over the hump, which seems kind of credible because if they really didn't think that way, I'd assume the deal would already be done, right? So spin all this forward to say when Jerry Jones said back in January that he was all in on the upcoming season, was he really all in the way you and I view it as, hey, they're going to push all the chips on the table, make these splashy free agent signings, we're going to go all in to get the Super Bowl? Or is he saying, this is like our last dance, dude. Like we're not going to extend big money to Dak Prescott if we're not positive about him. We're not going to extend Mike McCarthy if we're not positive about him. We're going to play it out as is. We're going to go for it. We're quote unquote all in for this season. And if things don't go or don't end in a Super Bowl, which many most likely don't expect that to happen, then we start anew in 2025. We're going to re-sign Micah Parsons. We're going to re-sign CeeDee Lamb. Maybe we have a new coach like a Bill Belichick's maybe there at that point. maybe Trey Lance is your new quarterback. I don't know, but it definitely has the feel that we were sold a false bill of goods by Jerry Jones back in January.
Yeah. It's possible that they're just so capped out that they can't make a move. I wonder, here's my Hail Mary prediction. The Cowboys try to make a splash and get Stephon Diggs from Buffalo. Stephon Diggs, his brother, Trayvon Diggs, obviously coming back from injury for the Cowboys. And I don't know, Rob, if you saw this. I missed it at the time. You know, I was in moving hell. But on the 15th of March, so that would be Friday, I guess. Yeah, maybe, whatever. The 15th of March, Stephon Diggs just put out a tweet that said, ready for whatever. Whatever spelled W-A-T-E-V-E-R. Okay. It got over 5 million views. And everybody took that as, well, is he ready to get traded? Did he refuse a pay cut like Keenan Allen did? I don't know. I mean, Keenan Allen did not fetch much. Stephon Diggs obviously doesn't have the injury history. Nobody's given up a 1 for him. Are you giving up a 2 for Diggs? I don't know. A 3? Who wants to deal with that headache? So, I don't know. Do the Cowboys say, you know what? Let's go all in. Let's bring Diggs to play with his brother. We got Diggs and Lamb, and we're just going to be all gas and no breaks. We won't be able to stop anybody. I don't. It's possible. I mean, they couldn't stop Jordan Love at all. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think there's a chance? Stephon Diggs in Dallas? Hey, listen, if this comes true, by the way, we definitely need to put this out there.
Absolutely. Now, it wouldn't be the craziest thing I've heard. But again, if you're going to do that and you're really going to push all your chips in the middle of the table, the prerequisite to all of that is extend or restructure Dak Prescott, because you are not going to be able to do much of anything salary cap wise, even though the NFL salary cap is a myth. I'm going to stand by that. His cap number is almost $60 million for one player.
That's insane.
Again, this can be totally alleviated. They could save upwards of $30 million against the cap if they just give him a new contract, if they extend him, or if they restructure and kick the can down the road the way the New Orleans Saints like do every single season.
Yeah.
So they absolutely could, and they could make a move for Stephon Diggs. Hell, they could make a move for Brandon Ayuk. I heard over the weekend that there was talks between San Francisco and Jacksonville over Brandon Ayuk, because we know he's unhappy, and it's ultimately proved to be too rich for Jacksonville's blood. They ended up pivoting and going another direction. But yeah, Dallas could, but it ultimately comes down to, do you believe in Dak Prescott? Is he worth investing the kind of money and the resources it's going to take to keep him long-term and thus open up avenues to add more talent to that roster?
Okay, what do you mean believe in? It's a question, can you win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott? I think the answer is obviously yes. I mean, Brock Purdy nearly won a Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo lost in the Super Bowl. We've seen a lot of okay quarterbacks, and Dak is better than okay. Dak finished, what, 3rd in MVP voting? We talk about him like he's chopped liver because he's 2-5 in the playoffs. I mean, not everybody could be Mark Sanchez and get 4 playoff wins.
That's right.
Or Brock Purdy and register, I think, 3? Yeah, 1 last year, 2 this year. It's hard, and I don't know. I think Dallas probably needs to make a splash. This is, you know, the final year, unless they extend Dak, and then it's, you know, yikes. But you're probably right. They probably end up kicking the can down the road, and the Cowboys are back in this 10, 11, 12 win, not purgatory, because that's pretty good to win 10, 11, 12 games in the league.
Oh, wouldn't we love if the Jets and the Raiders won 11 games a season?
I don't know what that feels like. Jets haven't won 11 games in forever. What do I know what that feels like? You know, winning games is just a challenge.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Vredestein tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Vredestein test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
I want to quickly move to the NBA. We'll get to college hoops in a sec. But Rob, you know, I touched on this yesterday that Kyrie Irving shot over Jokic to win the game for the Mavs. Mavs are looking good. My Mavs. Yes, I'm a Luka Doncic guy. But after the game on social media, I missed this. Damian Lillard, you know, Mr. Hot Take Artist, because he's spending all his time in Milwaukee where there's like nothing to do, I guess. And he's like watching every NBA game. And so Damian Lillard says Kyrie is the most skilled player ever. And like, yeah, he got caught up in the moment. I get it. And I'm just, I want to just have this quick discussion. This doesn't have to be 30 minutes or even 20. I just want to know, because all the players love Kyrie. Well, I mean, Kevin Durant followed him to Brooklyn and it ended up being like the worst move of his career. But the players love Kyrie Irving. They say his skills off the chart. His handles are insane. His bag is bigger than any, you know, that meme where you see the kid with the ginormous backpack. That's all you see. Anytime Kyrie does his, you know, elite layup package, people just post that meme of that little kid with the massive backpack, you know? And I get it. People like Kyrie Irving and layups are radical and it's an art form. And yes, it is skill, no doubt. But how do we define skill in the NBA? Because I just humor me. I looked it up in the dictionary. The ability to use one's knowledge effectively and readily in execution or performance. And then the second one is dexterity or coordination, especially in the execution of learned physical tasks. So for instance, the three-point shot can be called a skill based on that definition. Rebounding, technically you can know the angles, the boxing out, you know, but rebounding to me is more of an art form than a skill. Draymond Green is immensely skilled as a passer for his size. He's a cerebral player. But I think my guess, and feel free to check me if I'm wrong, when Damian Lillard's talking about skill, he's talking about getting off shots, making acrobatic crap, and what he does with the basketball. One of the craziest Kyrie Irving videos that I've ever seen is the one from the U.S. Olympic, I guess, trials or whatever. It was in Vegas. And Kyrie's bringing the ball up against full court pressure. And if you haven't seen it, it's not just full court pressure. It's Kobe Bryant and like Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant. It's like amazing players. And Kyrie, Rob, you've seen this, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Kyrie does some ridiculous magician shit to just go around to everybody. I'm talking through his legs, behind the back. Just the quickness that he's doing it is like, how is this possible? And it's videos like that that make everybody love Kyrie. The internet, you know, the social media keyboard warriors, they love Kyrie more than Steph Curry. Okay? There's a video of Kyrie going to work against Curry on the baseline. And Rob, do you know the one I'm talking about where he's like going behind the back, just pounding the ball?
And then he drops it and then he goes, yeah.
Yeah. And then he just does this awesome fadeaway shot. And it's like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
It looked awesome. It's 2 points. But the skill is there. And I get it. He is very skilled. But most skilled ever? Is he more skilled than Kobe Bryant, who had basically, you know, aped Michael Jordan's entire game? And I'm sure you guys have also seen the highlights of also at U.S. Olympic trials where they get basketball, the players like to on the nail or at the elbow. And it's like a one dribble and you've got to score. And just watching that, it's like, okay, Kevin Durant, gets off every shot and is unstoppable. He's also 6'11". Nobody can touch his shot. Paul George in those drills looks amazing. Paul George looks incredible. But like Kobe Bryant, not in that video. I feel like he was doing that in games. This isn't just practice court stuff. So for me, Kobe's definitely up there. And then like, I'm sorry, but I think Steph Curry at his size to get the shots off and create the space that he does. Now you could say that what he's doing is an art form, but all his dribbling videos, I'm just telling you, I think Curry is one of the more, I think he's right there in the Kyrie Irving discussion. I think a guy like Tim Duncan, who didn't have a bag like Kyrie, but holy hell, bank shots left and right, up and unders, you know, probably one of the most, some of the most skilled footwork ever, him and Tim Duncan, Tim Duncan and Olajuwon, for me, big men, immensely skilled. I think a guy like Jamal Crawford, who was just unbelievable with the basketball. I mean, Chris Paul in his prime. There's a lot of guys. I just have a hard time, and I know you're going to say, Jay, you're just a hater. I have a hard time putting Kyrie as the most skilled ever. I think he's certainly up there. And how's this? You want to take? Sure, Kyrie could be the most skilled ever, but he's got so much other crap going on. He's got so much other, I don't know if distractions is the right word, but he's so like, I'm not just an athlete. I'm this. If Kyrie Irving had like Kevin Durant or Steph Curry's work ethic, yeah, he might be the most skilled ever. He might probably be LeBron level good. Like Kyrie Irving, I just feel like it's always something with him. And yes, also the injuries have hurt and he's a smaller guard. But like, I don't know. I watched Jalen Brunson last night tear up the Warriors. Jalen Brunson is insanely skilled for his size and lefty. So I don't know, Rob. I guess long roundabout way of me saying, I don't know. Kyrie Irving, crazy skills, but most skilled ever? Like, is he more skilled than like, I don't know, Magic Johnson, Allen Iverson? There's a lot of guys. But notice I'm also naming a lot of smaller players, Rob, because I guess it's tougher as a 6'1 guard in the NBA to have a massive long career and get off these shots against these giants and these athletic freaks. I don't know. My guess is by the end of his career, Wembanyama will be the most skilled player in NBA history. Hopefully he doesn't get injured. But the stuff he's doing this year as a rookie, I mean, no doubt in my mind, he'll be the most skilled player when all is said and done.
Right, and I got the live tweets coming in as you were going through that rant, and the consensus seemed to be that, Jay, you're just being a hater.
Yeah.
Now, I mostly agree with you because defining skill in the NBA is very subjective, right? Because if it's just about how deep your bag is, then sure, you know, Kyrie's got one of the deepest bags I think you'll ever see in any generation. But a guy like LeBron James, who, if you're going to compare bags, his bag is like a fanny pack compared to Kyrie Irving. Which guy is more effective? LeBron James. Because even though he doesn't have the same crossover or the dexterity, the ability to finish as well, left hand, right hand, whatever, being able to get to your spots and being able to get to where you are dominant, that's a skill. Like, I'm glad you brought up Tim Duncan, because Tim Duncan has the most fundamental game, you know, of the modern era. And to your point, it's bank shots, it's up and unders, it's drop steps, it's nothing super fancy. But do you realize how skilled you have to be able to where everyone knows what you're going to do and you can still do it, right? He's not tricking you at all. Like that's a skill. You pointed out footwork. To me, Kobe Bryant has the best footwork of any player I've ever seen, including Hakeem Olajuwon. Like the drop steps, the step through, all that stuff. Like Kobe had that in spades. His crossover is not as good as Kyrie Irving. So does that mean that Kyrie automatically is more skilled than Kobe? No, I don't think so. It's just really what kind of things that you value and what you look for in an NBA player. And to your point, because Kyrie's game is pretty, because it makes for great TikTok highlights and SportsCenter and all that stuff, he's your favorite NBA player's favorite player. Right. And I understand that. But if are we basing it just on one-on-one wizardry, or are we basing it on your ability to refine the things that athleticism just doesn't give you? Because if that's the case, then defense is a skill. Like Steph Curry is never going to be a physically imposing defender. I don't think he'll ever be a great defender just because of his physical limitations. He's a naturally a thin guy who's not super explosive, but he's worked at it enough. He's good at using what length he does have with his wingspan. He's good at using his conditioning to get around screens, things like that, where he's become a serviceable to even solid defender. Like, he's developed his skill in that regard. Kyrie Irving is never going to be known as a defender.
No.
Trae Young is never going to be known as a defender.
Oh, Trae Young's a good name. There you go.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just really difficult to have this conversation. It really comes down to, you know, what you prefer. That's all it is.
And those NBA topics, they're evergreen. We could do them all summer. Or you could do it when Dame Lillard fires off a bored tweet from his Milwaukee mansion.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Yokohama tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Yokohama test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. And a couple double-digit dogs you should take a look at. I think a couple dogs will be barking opening weekend of the tournament. Obviously, I can't give betting advice, but I can sure lean on knowledge, my awesome run this season. If you're not paying attention, you're missing out. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code STRAIGHTFIRE. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code STRAIGHTFIRE. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
We'll quickly wrap up. Listen, I, again, you guys know I have a daughter. I coach her in fifth grade basketball. We're in the championship game this weekend. Undefeated. You know, we did win the title last year, a couple losses during the season, and, you know, we have a good team. We try to let all the kids play with their friends, and it just so happens my daughter has a couple of really good friends at hoops, and we have a taller team. So, like, the opposing coach texted me, are you guys going to have the Twin Towers this weekend? And I'm like, listen, one of the kids is from Ukraine and had never played basketball before. She was on our team last year. She can't really do much, but she scored some baskets because she's tall. And, you know, we have another girl who's out this weekend and whatever. I'm into girls basketball. Like, I didn't even tell my wife this, but I ran into at the local high school, the JV, former JV coach of the women's team. I played some pickup hoops with him. And, you know, we're talking about hoops and I'm like, yeah. He's like, dude, you should coach the middle school girls team next year. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, come on. There's no foundation. Like the program's falling apart in the high school level. They need someone in middle school to get these girls together. You like hoops. You know what you're doing. Your daughter's good. You guys can get a squad. I was like, ooh, okay. Add that as a job to a resume. I'm moderately interested. Anyways, so as such, I'm into the women's NCAA tournament. I'm into it. I'm not going to lie. And I was irate when the bracket came out and Caitlin Clark got just a horseshit draw. And I don't understand. I was outraged. I put some stuff online. But here's the interesting part. Once I put the stuff online, the people who were replying, they didn't follow me. So I'm like, how do they find this tweet if they don't even follow me? And then I noticed you go look at their profile and they're all, you know, in one kind of subcategory, which you can imagine what that is. And some of them appear to be bots. And I couldn't tell if there's this smear campaign going on against Caitlin Clark or people are just maybe getting sick of the hype. I don't know. That's possible. But something's going on with this Caitlin Clark hate. And people seem to be taking joy in the fact that she probably will not make the Final Four. And then you've got this other subset of people. And I don't like this. They're trying to make the Caitlin Clark women's college basketball thing like a black and white thing. Like, wait a minute, she's not the best player. There's all these other good. Well, obviously, there's a million good players. But the fact of the matter is, people are drawn into the Caitlin Clark story. I'm not saying they're not drawn into the Angel Reese story or the Juju story at USC. And you know, for all we know, USC might win it. She's amazing. But, for you know, Caitlin Clark's been around Iowa. Small school, Iowa, I don't think has ever done much until she shows up. She's breaking records. She's hitting threes like Steph Curry. She's packing stadiums. People are watching. I get it. You're not into women's hoops. That's fine. Maybe you got no kids and you're just like, do you think I was interested in women's college basketball when I was like 27 years old and just like drinking three nights a week and just trying to meet women? No, of course not. I wasn't into women's hoops. I mean, I was into sports and gambling, but no, but now I have a daughter. I'm into it. And I don't know, Rob. I know I'm sure the amount of people who are upset with the draw are small, but on my daughter's volleyball team, there is a dad who actually played college hoops at Chaminade. And I didn't know this, but he's from Iowa. And recently I was at this birthday party for a guy who turned 50. And I sat next to this guy who is from Iowa. And he's like, he collects cards. He's got a million Caitlin Clark cards and he's selling some of them and doing well. By the way, side note, across the table from me, I'm not going to say his name, but former top six NBA draft pick, currently working in the front office / coaching staff, if that's possible, of an NBA team, I'll just say in the Western Conference. And it was a fun dinner. I'll just say that. I'm not going to reveal the name, but a lot of questions from the NBA front. And yes, I tried to recruit him to the Gray Foxes, and he didn't politely decline. He just kind of was like, yeah, you know, I'm playing some hoops still. Probably not going to happen. At any rate, my other buddy, who's from Iowa, is like, was sending me messages like, dude, we got so shafted with Caitlin Clark. Like, LSU, the defending champ, is a three seed. And I don't know, Rob. I just feel like if the committee wanted to blow this out and give Caitlin Clark the Duke treatment, line it up so that she had a week two seed and a week three seed. I mean, listen, it's a no-brainer. She has set television records for women's basketball. It's not even close. You need her in the Final Four. Your selling point for the Final Four is we got Caitlin Clark, we got USC, we got South Carolina, and whoever the other team, Stanford, whatever. Without Caitlin Clark, I can almost guarantee you, you can cut that TV audience from, you know, I think they got 10 million last year or something. You could just chop that to 7.5 as like a max point. If she's not in it, I'm sorry. Like UConn has that girl who's super famous. I mean, I follow her on Instagram. She's super talented. She's going to be in the WNBA. I think she had like back-to-back knee injuries or something. There's good players. They're great programs, but there is a different thing about Clark and there's like a Hoosiers vibe. to what's going on there. And I listen, I know Rob has a daughter, but she's too young to play hoops. I don't know, Rob, are you into the Caitlin Clark stuff as much as I am?
1,000%.
Oh, that's good to hear.
And I'm one of those people, I'm not a bot, and I wish I would have commented on it, but I fully support everything you said about the committee members and them dropping the ball on this one, because women's college basketball as a whole is having a moment. Like they're fleeting in sports. Like you don't get them very often. And when they do, it's up to you to capitalize. Like, you know, David Beckham, when he came to the LA Galaxy all those decades ago, was a moment for American soccer, right? Yeah. And they didn't do a good job of pouncing on it, and they kind of tread water there for a second. Now we're hopeful that Messi can be the guy who makes it mainstream here in the United States. But right now, women's college basketball is having a moment. And the reason being, it's not the undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks. It's not the defending champion LSU Tigers. It's Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark's Iowa team has two of the five highest rated college basketball games this season, regardless of gender, including the men, right? Wow. Okay. Her championship game last year against LSU, if I'm reading this correctly, averaged 9.9 million viewers.
Okay.
The most ever for a women's college basketball game in history. Okay. Caitlin Clark generates clicks, generates eyeballs. Anytime you can bring her up on your television program, on your radio show, on your podcast, in this case, the numbers go up. She is a lightning rod for sports fans. And to your point, we all, obviously, sports is about, you know, it's a meritocracy. You want the best to be the best and so on and so forth. But the thing about the tournament, and this goes for the men's tournament as well, is it's not necessarily about finding the best team. Because if it was, it wouldn't be a one-and-done format, right? UConn in men's basketball wouldn't have to subject themselves to being upset by a random team that lost 12 games this year. Yeah. If UConn loses in the first round, does that mean they weren't, you know, basically one of the best teams all year? Of course not. It just means they had a rough night in that game and they happen to lose it. The tournament is about generating clicks. The tournament is about getting people to watch their television. It is big business first and foremost. The men's basketball tournament, according to The Athletic, is valued at about is worth nearly double the $1.1 billion it brings in annually from television revenue. The women are obviously not anywhere close to that. But if they have any kind of hope of becoming something that we talk about every year, something that we do our brackets for and we have office pools and such for, you need moments like this with Caitlin Clark, and you need her on the biggest stage. This is an opportunity for that to happen, and they botched it in a huge way.
Yeah. Disappointing. Well, now listen, obviously it's different because I think the first two rounds are at home. I think for the higher seed in women's and the women's tournament. I watched last year when Caitlin Clark was starting to make the run. I'm not saying she won't beat LSU, but LSU is so talented. Like they're stacked. The girl that transferred from Louisville, another girl I follow on Instagram, she has like 800,000 followers or whatever it is. Like they're good. They're probably going to beat Caitlin Clark in the Elite Eight, and that's going to suck. It's disappointing. Now, maybe I know the other people, Jason, so she's going to lose. What does it matter if she loses Elite Eight or Final Four? Here's the thing, guys. They try to make a big deal out of the Final Four. The women's Final Four, I'm almost certainly, is like a Sunday afternoon after, the day after the men's Final Four, I think. I'm pretty sure. Rob, do you think that's accurate?
I'd have to check on it, but that
I think
right.
I'm almost certain it's a Sunday. And it's like standalone. There's nothing else really going on. And it's awesome. Like, great. The Elite Eight ain't standalone. It's not like a Saturday afternoon. It's just not, it's not as interesting. It's just like in the men's side, you know, the first 4 days are epic. And then the Thursday, Friday games in the Sweet 16 are because it's like Thursday night, Friday night after a layoff. And then Elite Eight's okay. But the real deal is the Final Four. It's a big to-do. And like, that's where you need your stars. I don't know, man. I'm disappointed. But now I've ranted too long about Iowa women's basketball. And that'll do it for today. We're back tomorrow. Talk to you then.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.